Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We are the Rain and Jays, or in tonight's case, the Rain and Jay. I am John Corrales here by myself. I guess after last night's three-man pod, you had to average things out and have me alone. But I am here to talk about the Isaiah Thomas social media rampage that he went on, the pursuit of Paul George, and how the crazy trade of Chris Paul to the Houston Rockets affects all of this. Let's start there. Let's start with Chris Paul going to the Houston Rockets in a complete shocker of a deal. Now, we knew that Chris Paul was making overtures, that he was interested in the Rockets, that he was kind of looking around. He was interested in the Spurs. He was interested in a lot of other teams. However, we didn't know that this was this close at this time. And let's just, for a second, put aside whatever back channel crap went on to make this a reality so soon. The free agency doesn't start until Saturday. I'm recording this on Wednesday night. Wednesday during the day, Wednesday morning, Chris Paul became a member of the Houston Rockets. So all of that stuff, his decision to opt into his deal rather than opt out, and how that made things work better financially, all of that stuff had to be worked out in negotiations somehow. Somehow that had to be worked out. I don't know who got to whom, where, and when. I really don't know. But somehow that deal was made in the time before it was supposed to be made. I don't know if anybody's going to make a stink about it, but I'm sure the NBA privately in the back channels will somehow get in touch with the Rockets and Chris Paul and kind of let them know that something wasn't kosher. Like, to me, I don't care that that's how it worked out. Both teams got something. And if Chris Paul really was intrigued in going to see how he fit with James Harden, fine. That's fine. I just don't like it being so damn obvious. And that's something we'll get into with the Isaiah Thomas stuff later. But anyway, Chris Paul goes to the Rockets in a deal that is basically centered around Patrick Beverley and I guess Sam Decker, who was a rookie and is okay, but we'll see what he ends up being. But Patrick Beverley is a nice player, you know, good two-way player. But at that point, it was just the Clippers trying to figure out what scraps they could get for Chris Paul. Now, Chris Paul opted into the final year of his contract. That gets him about $24 million bucks. He's 32 years old, so he may be looking for that one last deal and figuring out if it works in Houston, then so be it. It works, and or if it works in Houston, great. then he can re-sign there. If not, so be it. He can go somewhere else. This is where it gets a little crazy because there is some discussion today online about if Chris Paul doesn't like it in Houston and you get some of that criticism that two ball-dominant guards can't really work together, so he and James Harden both demand the ball too much and it just doesn't pan out. Fine. He and LeBron James will both be free agents at the same time, and the Banana Boat Brothers can all get together somewhere after surveying the NBA landscape. How does that impact everybody? I don't know. It's if Chris Paul and LeBron James decide next offseason to create a super team of their own, maybe they go to the East, maybe they pick some random team like Charlotte and go there, or whatever. I don't know. Maybe they all congregate in Cleveland. Who knows? That part is a little daunting. I don't know what happens there. I don't really want to think about that at this time. But it does impact how teams like the Celtics make their moves. Now the Celtics are, as we know, in pursuit of Gordon Hayward and potentially Paul George at the same time. So let's start with Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward's going to be sitting there in Utah thinking, well, Golden State's still pretty damn good. Now Houston's pretty damn good. And who knows who they add if they add Paul George. More on that in a second. How am I, Gordon Hayward, going to sit there in Utah with nice players but not great players, not megastars? How am I going to sit in Utah and have to climb the mountain of San Antonio, Houston, and Golden State just to get to the NBA Finals? You have to be sitting there thinking, well, I could go East, and whether it's Boston or Miami or somebody else, he could go East and make a team good enough to at least be a playoff contender and give that team a chance to advance in the playoffs without that type of resistance. If he comes to Boston, if just Gordon Hayward comes to Boston, then he can at least say, well, Boston without me and with all of these other guys, they were able to get to the conference finals to face Cleveland. So you add me, Gordon Hayward, and we can go face Cleveland again in the conference finals, especially if Toronto ends up losing Kyle Lowry in this mix. Look, Kyle Lowry's a free agent. Who knows what happens now? Chris Paul has created this kind of shift. Teams that may have wanted Chris Paul, teams that are looking for point guards, or maybe it's the Clippers somehow, that they work out something with the Raptors. Why not flip Beverly to the Raptors? And who knows, maybe you flip him and Blake Griffin to the Raptors. Maybe there's some maneuvering there that can be done. Or DeAndre Jordan or something. I haven't looked at the numbers to see how that would work. But who knows, maybe that's a scenario where that's one of the dominoes that falls. However that works out, you still, as Gordon Hayward, have to look at the East as a much easier path. You are in your prime now. If Utah and Boston are equal to you, Gordon Hayward, then why not choose the path that would make you, that would get you to the finals easier, that would make you part of a better team, that would make you part of this legendary franchise? So I think there's an increase in the odds that Gordon Hayward at least leaves Utah, and that puts Boston in a really good situation. Hayward may see a tougher path in the West, and if he doesn't want to waste his prime butting his head up against all those very difficult teams, then he may just say, all right, I'm going to move on and try to find my way in the Eastern Conference. Okay, that's part one. Then the pursuit of Paul George comes into play. Okay, Paul George reportedly is reportedly being pursued by Houston. Okay, Houston can offer who? Eric Gordon? If Eric Gordon doesn't want to be in Indiana, then that might not go so well. and they're not going to pay him money to be less of what he than what he was this past season. Clint Capella, okay, nice, fine, but not with any of the draft picks that the Rockets can add. I still think Boston will have the best possible package to offer Indiana. So we know that Bradley, Crowder, and Zeller works financially, just those guys. We know that they could throw in a better pick than anybody else. So I say you throw in the pick that we got for Fultz. Like I said in last night's podcast, I'm okay with that. You turn the number one pick in the draft into Jason Tatum and Paul George. I'm okay with that. You might think it's a high price to pay. I think it's worth it. I know you're taking a chance. I think it's worth it. And then you throw in maybe the Memphis pick. So here's from Indiana's point of view why I think that's palatable. Starting with the draft picks. Indiana will be rebuilding. Okay? They will have a pretty good pick from either the Lakers, the Kings, or the Sixers. One way, that's probably going to end up being a pretty good pick. They themselves are going to have their own good picks. So somewhere in that mix, they will have two potentially top 10 picks out of this deal to restock their team. Plus, you throw in the Memphis pick, which could be maybe middle of the draft, but still potential good player or solid player. So you have, in addition to your own couple of picks, the picks from the Celtics, one of which could be really, really good. Then you throw in Jay Crowder, who is a solid 3-and-D guy. Okay, we know what he's all about. We know he can really help a team. He's on a good deal that doesn't hurt them in any way. Doesn't hurt them at all. Unless they're really trying to tank, in which case that hurts them. But I think you could put him in any situation, he'll be fine. Zeller is cut. He's just salary. Avery Bradley could get flipped. And that's where I think there's added value that we haven't really thought about. That they could turn around and turn Avery Bradley at the trade deadline into something from a win-now team. Maybe they send him to Cleveland. Maybe they send him to Houston. Maybe they send him to San Antonio. How about Avery Bradley in San Antonio? And they get assets there. Whatever assets they are. Future draft picks, draft and stash players, young players that maybe haven't gotten a chance. Whatever it is, they could turn Avery Bradley into more than just Avery Bradley. So I think from the Pacers' perspective, it's not just the players they get, because Zeller, again, is just money. They can clear some money there. Avery Bradley can turn into something more. The picks that they get, I think that's a good package. And considering what Chris Paul went for and what Jimmy Butler went for, that's a good package. And I think that can ultimately be enough. Now, on top of it, from the best that I can understand, that I know that that works financially, and that's sending out more than you take in. So that benefits the Celtics in that they've sent out more salary, they've cleared some salary, but they still have acquired their player, and they've opened up some time for, some cash for Gordon Hayward, whenever that works. Now, I'm not sure how the quote-unquote sequencing goes, but they can come up with this trade and come up with the agreement from Gordon Hayward, and if it's all agreed to in principle, they can figure out what needs to happen in which order. And so the Celtics can maneuver and make this work somehow. It's not going to be easy, but they can make it work. It may also cost them Marcus Smart. I'm not sure. There are things that still have to happen, but there are variables. Like, we don't know what Gordon Hayward is going to demand, what he's going to accept, and what he will be willing to do as far as length of contract. We don't know what Indy really wants to take back, We don't know what they're going to insist on. We also don't know what the salary cap is really going to be. We know the latest guidance made it $99 million, but there's still actual accounting that needs to be done. That guidance will probably be pretty close, but there still needs to be actual calculations so you get down to the dollar of what needs to happen, who needs to go out. Terry Rozier, Ante Zizic, Gershon Yabusele, any of those guys, who do we get to keep? Who do we have to trade for nothing and future highly protected second round picks that never pan out? What do we do in that situation? But there are options and there are variables that will impact exactly who goes out and what happens in which order. So to sum that up, the trade of Chris Paul to the Rockets does impact the Celtics in that I think it can create a scenario where Gordon Hayward definitely feels like he needs to get into the East, and that puts the Celtics in a great position, a better position than most, because I don't think he's going to be wooed by the Miami nightlife. I think he'd be happy to play for his former coach in Boston. And I do think that the Celtics have some more competition for Paul George, and it's just a matter of what the Pacers want. Do they want to squeeze the Celtics? Are they going to pull the trigger? Do they value more highly Eric Gordon and Clint Capella? They might. So it's entirely possible that something might go awry. And there's also the variable of Blake Griffin. Does he want to leave Los Angeles now? Will the Celtics turn their attention to Blake Griffin and say, hey, now that Chris Paul is gone, you really want to go? Maybe he becomes a more likely target. So that's another possibility. Does Blake Griffin become more of a target for the Celtics? Do they think they can get him more cheaply? Can they pay him less per year in an annual salary if they give him the full 4 years? Can they figure out a way to make that something palatable to both sides? Can they say, you come here, we'll give you a little bit less because we're afraid of the injuries, and we're going to give you the opportunity to become a champion? Does that work for Blake Griffin? Or does he want to just get that financial security, that 5 years, and stay in Los Angeles and be a Clipper and just end his career there, mired in mediocrity? I don't know. I don't know what he's willing to do. If he feels like he can lead the Clippers, if they're just a piece away, or if they think, hey, Patrick Beverley's pretty good and we don't have Chris Paul maybe screwing things up. Maybe that's something that they think. I think it's stupid, and I don't know. It's just a crazy hypothetical, but who knows what they're thinking. Point is, Blake Griffin becomes more of an option, possibly. And Blake Griffin also is a pretty well-respected endorser. He has endorsement deals out there. He's done a lot. He makes a lot of money that way. If he can go out there and make up the difference of what he could get paid in endorsements, then that is a possibility for the Celtics to say, hey, look, you come out to the Celtics. As a Celtic, you'll kind of have more of a, you know, legendary team type of thing. You go out there and you start recording some more commercials. You're not far from New York. You can go to New York and do your thing. Maybe they do something. Maybe that's part of the pitch. I don't know. But if you could maybe convince Blake Griffin to take less money and he becomes your power forward and it kind of snaps things more into place where you can get Paul George and he becomes your small forward, and you still keep Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and at least that Brooklyn pick, that's a pretty good position to be in. And then I would be okay if they said something like, Blake Griffin doesn't play back-to-backs. He doesn't especially do road back-to-backs, whatever. Like, make the announcement right away that somehow he's not going to play back-to-backs all season long. And you try to preserve him and you give him more of a kind of kid's glove type of situation. Even if he plays 60 games and you preserve him in that way and then you unleash him during the playoffs, I'd be fine with that. I would be fine with that. And so that's just another wrinkle that could be thrown into this mix. Whereas before, with Chris Paul still in Los Angeles, you might have thought, well, he could re-sign for another run. So more possibilities, things that are going we're going to have to watch for over the next couple of days. And then, you know, into next week, free agency starts Saturday. We might wake up Saturday morning with all kinds of craziness going on. These teams are doing all this stuff. Free agency hasn't even started yet. What is going on? Meanwhile, Isaiah Thomas is out there trolling people's Instagrams. Lance Stephenson puts a picture up saying, basically begging Paul George not to leave. And then Isaiah Thomas hops into the comments saying, nah, no, let him go, too late. And then talking trash, a little bit of trash anyway. And then he got into Chris Paul posted a goodbye. Slam posted a goodbye. And then Isaiah Thomas hopped into those comments and it's like, nope, that's nice. Nice run. Now Blake, come over to Boston. Like, he's out there just hopping into mentions like crazy. And two things. First of all, I love that people are just looking on Instagram for what athletes are mentioning, who they're following. Like, that's crazy to me. Secondly, what balls from Isaiah Thomas to go out there on social media and just start hopping into comments like, come to Boston, come to Boston, come to Boston. That's awesome recruiting. I do think, well, this is fun. First of all, it's all fun. And I don't mind. I don't care. If they can say what they want to say, if it was Isaiah Thomas as a free agent and someone hopped into his Instagram mentions and said, come on over, I don't care. I really don't. It's fun. I wonder if the league is going to really appreciate players actively trying to recruit other players through social media. And not that I think that Isaiah hopping into Lance Stephenson's mentions is going to make any real difference, but from a league perspective, I just wonder if they're going to sit there and be like, all right, it's fine that you guys work out together. It's fine that you talk and text and share agents, so you're going to be in communication with one another. Players are going to recruit each other. Like, that's fine. As long as the team doesn't officially say, go tell him, we'll offer him 5 years and blah, 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 or he can do that. As long as there's no team intervention, it's fine. But I just wonder if the league is going to say, okay, you guys can talk amongst yourselves, but let's not make it blatantly obvious. You know, like, that's where I think the league might be like, just chill out a second. Just don't hop into mentions. Don't be posting about other players and recruiting messages on social media. I feel like the NBA might just kind of clamp down on that little thing. And it's not like you can't communicate with one another and blah, 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 and follow and have social interactions or even talk trash to one another a little bit. That's fine. But I just feel like the NBA might say, we're drawing the line at recruiting. Like, outright recruiting, we're not going to stand for that. So, but I think it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious that Isaiah Thomas, for the second year in a row, is just all over social media, everywhere, just trying to grab people and say, come to Boston. We want you in Boston. Let's go. He's just no fear. And so it's kind of interesting if Isaiah Thomas were to somehow get traded in all of this, would be the worst, most cruel thing that could ever happen. I'm just so all in on Isaiah, and he's just willing to wait his turn. And I know he wants to back up the Brinks truck, but it's great to see him just so active in everything that involves the Celtics. One last note, and I'll just end on the Knicks firing. I know it's supposedly parted ways, but they fired Phil Jackson. What a joke the Knicks continue to be. They just continue to be an absolute farce. James Dolan, such an idiot when it comes to the Knicks. Constantly meddling. Go back to the Carmelo Anthony trade in Denver when Donnie Walsh was cleaning up Isaiah Thomas, the other Isaiah Thomas's mess. He didn't want to trade all of those assets for Carmelo Anthony. And James Dolan went and did it anyway. And now here we are in New York with the situation that they're in. And Phil Jackson came in and James Dolan gave Carmelo Anthony the no trade clause. From what I understand, that wasn't Phil Jackson's thing. It was James Dolan saying, yes, we'll give him the no trade clause. So Dolan continues to go get screwed. And then the Knicks, in the middle of all of this, traded for Andrea Bargnani, who, again, getting fleeced by Masai Ujiri, once in Denver, once in Toronto. And then James Dolan goes out and gives Phil Jackson 5 years and, what is it, however many millions of dollars, like 50 some odd million dollars to run the team. Phil Jackson screws the whole thing up, hires Derek Fisher, fires Derek Fisher, hires Jeff Hornacek, tells everybody they have to run the triangle, gives them non-triangle players, just constantly antagonizing Carmelo Anthony, trying to send a message to Kristaps Porzingis, and then threatening to trade him in an effort to send that message. Just both those guys, Dolan and Phil Jackson, jokes. Jokes. The both of them. James Dolan is the worst owner. The worst owner in basketball. And I say that knowing full well that Rob Sarver and Dan Gilbert exist. But James Dolan just... unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Oh, and Vivek Ranadive in Sacramento. It's just like they take turns trying to be embarrassments. So, just fun. I have fun watching how bad the Knicks are. I have fun watching them screw it up over and over and over again. And I talked to a Knicks fan today and I said, you must be happy. He goes, no, I'm not happy because, first of all, they're paying Phil. They're still paying him. They picked up his option for 2 more years at $24 million. And then they fired him. They could have fired him back in April, and they didn't. And now, is there any hope that they're going to fix this at all? That James Dolan's going to do anything competent at all? I know he wants to go get Masai Ujiri, but does he really think that Masai Ujiri is going to come to New York City and work for James Dolan? I don't think so. I don't even think Toronto would even allow that. But even so, I don't think Ujiri would even make that move. So then what? What does he do? Who knows? The Knicks are a joke. And I woke up this morning. I swear I woke up this morning thinking, I feel like total shit. I want to call out sick. I don't feel good. I lean over to my phone. I check my text alerts. And Woj is talking about Phil Jackson being out in New York. And next thing you know, I'm bounding out of my bed. I'm doing a little dance. It's like the sound of music twirling around. Well, a jib pulls away and I'm doing my little dance in my song. A lot of fun. Okay, that's the show, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. I know it was just me. I hope you enjoyed it. And at least while I was talking, you were either agreeing or disagreeing with me or whatever. The rest of us will be around for the rest of the week and heading into free agency. If something big happens on Saturday, we will be around, one of us, but probably more, will be around to discuss whatever happens, whether it's Gordon Hayward, Blake Griffin, a trade for Paul George, or nothing. We will be around to talk about that. So stay tuned. Emergency podcasts are waiting. We are here waiting in case anything happens. Thank you for subscribing. If you are not a subscriber, please go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, please subscribe. If you are a subscriber and you enjoy the podcast, please give us 5 stars. And I know we've been kind of suffering through some audio problems. I hope that doesn't influence your rating or your review. We're working on it. You know we're working on it. This is something that we're doing in addition to our regular jobs. So there is sometimes might take us a little bit longer to kind of figure certain things out. But we are working here for you. We are here 5 days a week, most weeks. And we will be here throughout Summer League, throughout free agency, and all of that. So please tell your friends. Let everybody know. Share it when we tweet it. Retweet our tweets. Share it on your Facebook pages. Do whatever you need to do to get the word out. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.